Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we are diving deep into one of the most fascinating and exam-critical topics on the WJHC specification, social influence. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Have you ever done something just because everyone else was doing it, or followed an instruction from someone in authority, even when a little voice in your head said, "I'm not sure about this"? That's social influence at work. And it's happening around us every single day. In this episode, we're going to cover everything you need to nail the social influence questions in your WGSE psychology exam. We'll walk through the four core studies, Ash, Milgram, Zimbardo, and Pillyavin, explain the key concepts, give you examiner tips, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz. So get comfortable, grab a pen, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Social influence is about how other people affect our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. The WJEC specification asks you to understand two main types, conformity and obedience. And underpinning both is a crucial distinction that examiners absolutely love, the difference between situational and dispositional factors. A dispositional explanation says that behavior comes from inside the person, their personality, values, or character. A situational explanation says the environment and context around them is what drives behavior. Keep this distinction in your mind throughout everything we discuss today because it is the golden thread running through all four core studies. Right. Let's start with Ash. Solomon Ash conducted his famous line conformity experiment in 1951. His aim was to investigate whether people would conform to a group even when the group was obviously wrong. Here's how it worked. A real participant sat in a room with seven other people. But those seven were Confederates, meaning they were actors working for Ash. Everyone was shown a standard line and three comparison lines and asked which comparison line matched the standard. It was an easy, unambiguous task, but the Confederates all gave the same wrong answer on 12 out of 18 trials, the critical trials. So what happened? The results showed that on those critical trials, participants conformed to the wrong answer 36.8% of the time, and crucially, 75% of participants conformed at least once. The conclusion? Even on a simple, clear-cut task, people will go along with the majority. Ash explained this through normative social influence, the desire to fit in and be liked, and informational social influence, looking to others for guidance when uncertain. Remember those two terms. They come up constantly in apply questions. Now let's move to Milgram. Stanley Milgram conducted his obedience study in 1963 at Yale University. His aim was to investigate how far ordinary people would go in obeying an authority figure, even if it meant harming another person. Participants, all male, recruited through a newspaper advert, were told they were taking part in a study on learning and memory. They were assigned the role of teacher and told to administer electric shocks to a learner every time they gave a wrong answer. The shocks increased in 15-volt increments, from 15 volts all the way up to 450 volts, labeled XXX danger. The learner was actually a Confederate, an actor, and received no real shocks. But the participant didn't know that. The results were staggering. 65% of participants, that's 26 out of 40, continued all the way to 450 volts, the maximum shock level. All 40 participants went to at least 300 volts. Milgram's conclusion was that situational factors, specifically the presence of a legitimate authority figure in an institutional setting, caused ordinary people to obey destructive commands. This challenges the dispositional view that only cruel or unusual people would harm others. The concept here is displacement of responsibility. Participants felt the experimenter was responsible, not themselves. Do not confuse this with diffusion of responsibility, which we'll come to with Pillyavin. That is a very common exam mistake. Now, the Stanford Prison Experiment. In 1973, Haney, Banks, and Zimbardo set up a mock prison in the basement of Stanford University. Their aim was to investigate the effect of social roles on behavior, specifically whether the roles of guard and prisoner would cause participants to behave in stereotypically expected ways. 24 male students were randomly assigned to be either guards or prisoners. Guards were given uniforms, batons, and mirrored sunglasses. Prisoners were given smocks, ID numbers, and chains on their ankles. The study was planned to last 2 weeks, but it had to be stopped after just 6 days. Why? Because the guards became increasingly authoritarian, aggressive, and dehumanizing. One guard was nicknamed John Wayne for his cruelty. Prisoners became passive, depressed, and submissive. Some had emotional breakdowns. The conclusion is powerful. Social roles and situational factors can override individual personality and lead people to behave in ways they would not normally choose. This is the key point for exam answers. You must explain how the roles caused the behavior, not just describe what happened. The concept of de-individuation is also relevant here. The uniforms and ID numbers stripped away individual identity, reducing personal accountability and increasing extreme behavior. Finally, let's talk about Pilyavin, Rodin, and Pilyavin's 1969 subway study. Their aim was to investigate bystander behavior in a real-world setting. Unlike lab experiments, this was a field experiment conducted on the New York subway. A Confederate would collapse in a subway carriage, and researchers observed whether and how quickly passengers helped. The victim was either carrying a cane, appearing ill, or smelling of alcohol, appearing drunk. Sometimes a Confederate model would step in to help after a delay. The results showed that the ill victim was helped 95% of the time, usually within 70 seconds. The drunk victim was helped 81% of the time, but with longer delays and more reluctance. There was also a slight tendency for same race helping. The conclusion challenges the idea that bystanders always fail to help. In fact, in this naturalistic setting, helping rates were very high. However, the concept of diffusion of responsibility still applies. As the number of bystanders increases, each individual feels less personally responsible to act because they assume someone else will step in. This is the bystander effect. Remember, diffusion of responsibility is about shared responsibility reducing individual action. Displacement of responsibility in Milgram is about passing responsibility upward to an authority figure. Different concepts, different studies. Right. Let's talk exam technique. The WJEC mark scheme is very specific about what earns marks, so listen carefully. First, always distinguish between results and conclusions. Results are the quantitative data, the numbers. For Milgram, the result is that 65% went to 450 volts. The conclusion is the interpretation, that situational factors cause obedience. Examiners regularly see candidates mix these up, and it costs marks. Second, when evaluating studies, use the GRAVE acronym. That stands for Generalizability, Reliability, Application, Validity, and Ethics. For each point, don't just name the issue. Explain it in the context of the specific study. Saying the study was unethical earns no marks. Saying Milgram's participants were deceived about the true nature of the study, which raises ethical concerns around informed consent. However, Milgram argued the value of the findings justified this, and all participants were debriefed and followed up. That earns marks. Third, for apply questions, where you're given a scenario and asked to explain behavior, every theoretical point must be explicitly hooked back to the scenario. Don't just define normative social influence in the abstract. Say, in this scenario, Jamie conforms because of normative social influence, the desire to be liked and accepted by the group, even though he knows the answer is wrong. Fourth, in 9-mark extended writing questions, balance your AO1 description with AO3 evaluation. The mark scheme rewards both. Don't spend 8 paragraphs describing Milgram's procedure and then squeeze in 1 line of evaluation at the end. Fifth, memorize your key statistics. Milgram, 65% to 450 volts. Ash, 36.8% conformity on critical trials, 75% conformed at least once. 95% helped the ill victim, 81% helped the drunk victim. These numbers anchor your AO1 and signal to the examiner that you have precise knowledge. Okay, let's test what you've just learned. I'll ask a question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then press play to hear the answer. Question 1. What percentage of Milgram's participants continued to the maximum 450 volt shock? Pause now. The answer is 65%. Question 2. What are the 2 types of social influence that explain Ash's conformity findings? Pause now. Normative social influence and informational social influence. Question 3. How long did the Stanford prison experiment last before it was stopped? Pause now. 6 days. It was planned to last 2 weeks. Question 4. What is the difference between diffusion of responsibility and displacement of responsibility? Pause now. Diffusion of responsibility is when bystanders share responsibility, reducing individual action. That's Pilyavin. Displacement of responsibility is when individuals pass responsibility to an authority figure. That's Milgram. Question 5. What does the GRAVE acronym stand for in study evaluation? Pause now. generalizability, reliability, application, validity, ethics. Let's bring it all together. Social influence is about how situations and other people shape our behavior. The four core studies, Ash 1951, Milgram 1963, Haney-Banks and Zimbardo 1973, and Pilyavin 1969, all demonstrate the power of situational factors over dispositional ones. Ash shows us conformity through group pressure. Milgram shows us obedience to authority. Zimbardo shows us the power of social roles and de-individuation. And Pilyavin shows us bystander behavior and diffusion of responsibility in a real-world setting. For your exam, know your statistics, distinguish results from conclusions, evaluate using Grave, and always link your theory explicitly to any scenario you're given. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, understanding the psychology behind these studies is what separates a grade C from a grade A. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.